Pleased to be joined right now by Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Warren, welcome to the show.
Oh, Vic, great to talk to you. How you been?
I've been great, and loving life in this new gig. And you're, of course, in the media business as well as an analyst on the Seahawks radio network. And you're a busy guy. Also, I know you'll be heading to Canton very soon, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, because you're on the board of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I got put on there about a year ago after Merlin Olsen passed away. And, of course, Merlin was I was a big fan of his growing up in Los Angeles, being a Rams fan. And it was sad to see him go, but I got voted on in his place. And now I'm just trying to get up to speed on everything that's going on with the Hall of Fame, because there's a lot of different things going on. There's a huge renovation project going on right now. So I'm going to be down there for a day, just going through an orientation and kind of getting up to speed on all the different programs.
Right. And then, of course, the Seahawks are going to be here for Sunday's game. And I know the team, you guys will be getting here on Friday to get oriented with that. And let's start our conversation with the Seahawks team. That's 2-3, same record as the Browns. But, Warren, I say their record feels a little better because they won their last game before the bye, beating the Giants in the last seconds of that game and winning two of their last three. Do you sense that the Seahawks are going in the right direction?
I think they are, Vic. I think they're a young football team that is really trying to find themselves. They've made a lot of changes over the last couple of years with Pete Carroll as their coach and John Schneider as their general manager. They're trying to restructure that whole roster, trying to become a bigger team, a much faster and stronger team, and also a younger football team. And they've kind of accomplished all those things. But in the process, they're a team that doesn't really know each other that well, especially on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of new faces, new quarterback, new system going in this year. So I think they're just starting to come up to speed. And I think not having the offseason with a full training camp and the off-season program like everybody else went through with the lockout this year, it really hurt them more than anybody because of all the changeover and all the transition.
And they've really made some dramatic shifting in how they're approaching games. The first few games of the season, the first three games of this season, they were running a conventional offense. These last two, it's been a real quick-paced, fast-paced, no-huddle approach, and that seems to, well, clearly it's produced more points for them, I believe like 25 more points in the two games compared to the first three. How do you see them handling that?
Well, they did a really good job over the last couple of games with it, with Tavares Jackson leading that no-huddle offense and kind of a more up-tempo type of style, and I think as a quarterback, because he had so many new pieces that he was working with and with a very young, inexperienced offensive line, it seemed like they worked better with an up-tempo pace as opposed to slowing it down and huddling and having more time to think about what they had to do. It seemed like they made more mistakes that way. So the whole offense seemed to really gel around this up-tempo, no-huddle type of deal, and they did a nice job with it. But now Tavares Jackson is injured. He has a pectoral injury, and he probably won't play this week against the Browns. So Charlie Whitehurst will come in and take over, and they'll basically do some of the same things. I'm sure they'll run some up-tempo, no-huddle as well, but I'm sure they'll huddle up a little more as well, too.
Yeah, you've got more than your share of experience with the different tempo and certainly with running the spread offense and going at a hurried pace. So what is the key to making that work? Is it all about the quarterback? In other words, because it worked so well with Tavares Jackson and maybe suited his skills, that it is something that you probably can't necessarily expect another guy like Charlie Whitehurst to do. And I'm not suggesting he isn't capable of it, but is it suited specifically to the guy you have under center or behind center more than anything else?
No, I think it's more suited for this team because of the newness of everyone to each other, then it's suited for this offense. And I think Charlie Whitehurst is another guy who will benefit from this because he doesn't know the offense as well as Tavares did. This is an offense that Tavares ran at Minnesota under Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator. So he was familiar with the offense, but it's all the other guys that weren't. So I think everybody else is benefiting from this. And Charlie came in a relief duty against the New York Giants and actually made some big plays down the stretch to win that football game. And he came in cold off the bench and ran this no huddle and did a pretty good job with it without a lot of practice. So I think they'll continue to do it with him in there as well, but I think it benefits the whole offense.
And speaking of the whole offense, another big component to this is Marshawn Lynch. And he is, we know, an explosive and tough and physical runner. And he's the kind of guy that can give any defense a hard time. And I would look, when you're playing on the road, I would look for him to be obviously a big factor in this game against the Browns Sunday. Your sense of where Marshawn is now in this season with the Seahawks and how they're utilizing him and how this faster pace affects that?
Well, I think Marshawn's really starting to get his timing now with this offensive line. The first two or three weeks were really slow. They just weren't getting a lot of movement at the line of scrimmage, a lot of blown assignments up front in that zone blocking scheme. But I think each and every week they start to get a little bit better up front. It helps Marshawn. And last week against the Giants, he had, I think, 93 yards in that ball game, his best game of the year. And he's also catching the ball out of the backfield. So he's a guy that can do a lot of different things. He'll show you the very tough physical style of running when you need a couple of yards. But he can also show, like he did last week, where he can take it the distance as well. And he has the speed to get outside and make the long run. So as they continue to get better up front, it's only going to help Marshawn in that running game. And that'll be another added weapon to this offense.
He and their whole thing with him is wearing you down, right? I mean, he is a guy that basically by pounding on you by the latter stages of the game is when he can be even more effective.
No question about it. And I think most good running backs or most great running backs get better as the game progresses. As the defense starts to wear down, the better running backs get a little bit stronger. Adrian Petersons and guys like that. So this is what you want to do with Marshawn Lynch. You want to get him the ball early in the ball game, no question about it. But after you get a lead, whether it's throwing or running the football, you want to be able to hand him the football later on in the game and just let him take over against a tired defense. And that's when he breaks tackles, and that's when the big long runs usually come in ball games.
Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, an analyst for the Seahawks Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. An interesting matchup is this. You brought up the Seahawks offensive line, and in particular the right side of that line, Warren, where you have two rookies starting, John Moffitt at the guard spot and James Carpenter at tackle, facing a Browns defensive front or defensive line that has two rookies as well, in Phil Taylor, Jabal Sheard, Taylor at tackle and Sheard at end. As you look at this, does that cancel each other out a little bit, that it's two rookies against two rookies, or how have you seen the progress of Moffitt and Carpenter and their readiness to handle the continued challenges that they face week in, week out?
Well, I think those two are getting better as they play next to each other. The tough part about two rookies playing against each other in the offensive line as opposed to the defensive line, they don't really have anybody to feed off of as far as helping them with calls, maybe making little adjustments as they go along in the ball game because they don't have a veteran playing next to them. So they're kind of having to do this on the fly. And on the defensive side, I think it's a little bit easier to play over there as a younger player because in defense you're just asking guys to react to the football. They definitely have assignments that they have to do, but I don't think they're as intricate as what offensive linemen have to do as far as working together. So it might be the Browns' favor to have, you know, two rookies over there on the defensive line. But like I said, these two guys have really progressed over the last two or three weeks, and they're starting to get a lot more confident in what they're doing.
Warren, what do you see from the Seahawks' defense? The Browns, of course, coming into this game with an offense that has been notoriously slow starting games, scoreless in first quarters in four of the five they've played so far. Colt McCoy, it's been uneven and really an inability to make a lot of the big plays happen. As you assess the way this Seahawk defense plays, is that the kind of opponent that maybe they'd figure to have success with, or where do you see their vulnerabilities?
Well, I think they're very, very good against the run. I think they're seventh in the league against the run, so they do a very nice job in that front seven. They've given up a lot of yards in the passing game, and part of that reason is because teams have not been able to run the football on them, so they've thrown the ball a lot. But they really became a much more opportunistic defense, especially against Eli Manning a couple of weeks ago, picked him off three times, so they're starting to get the turnovers that you would hope out of that young secondary. They did lose Marcus Trufant this past week. He's been put on IR, and he was the only guy back there really with a lot of experience. So they're going to be starting another young kid, you know, out there on the corner. So that might be something the Browns might want to look at as far as, you know, trying to expose Walter Thurman, who's going to be at that left cornerback spot where you get most of your passes thrown over on the right side of the offense. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But the Seahawks are very high on Walter Thurman, and we'll just have to see how he plays under the big lights of being a starter now as opposed to just being a nickelback.
Warren, year two of the Pete Carroll regime there in Seattle, your sense of how that's working. He's such a, we know him to be such an upbeat and positive guy. And when media there recently were trying to get him to talk about a rebuilding program or whatever, a continuation of that from last year, his response after that giant win is, hey, we're right where we need to be. We're not a work in progress. Do you buy that, A, and B, do you buy what he's selling to this team, and do you see a buy-in from the players?
Well, I think from his standpoint of the message he wants to get across to his players, he wants them to think that they have a chance to win now. It's just like last year when he came in. They ended up winning the division, even though they didn't have a winning record. They won the division because he instilled in them that we're not rebuilding this program, that we are making some changes, but we continue to want to win each and every week. They ended up winning a division and winning a playoff game in his first year after making a bunch of wholesale changes, and he feels like the same thing this year. Even though they're making some changes on the offensive side of the ball, you know, 9 new faces on that offense this year, he still feels like the message you got to give to your football team is we want to go out with the idea of winning each and every week. So I think in the back of his mind and in the back of that front office, they know that they're going through transition, but he wants to send the message to his players, we're going to try and win every time out, and we can win our division again this year like we did last year.
Warren, I know you're involved in so many different things on multiple fronts concerning football and sports. One thing I do want to get to is your help as a consultant with Cam Newton, how he turned to you and really leaned on you during the time between the end of the draft and then when he was going into the draft and then going into his first season now with Carolina. That's worked out so well. You were such a proponent of this kid, and you basically told anyone who would listen what an outstanding player you thought he would be. He's making you look pretty smart right now.
He is really making me look smart right now, and I never thought he'd get off to this great a start. You know, they haven't won that many ball games, but I tell you what, he's putting up big-time quarterback numbers in his first 4 or 5 games of the season, and that's the frustrating thing to him is he's been a winner his whole career, and he wants to win more ball games. He could care less about the numbers, but he has definitely shown that the game is not too big for him. The stage of quarterback in the NFL is not too big for him, even though he's a rookie. And he's really caught on very quickly, but part of that reason is because of his work ethic. The guy really worked his tail off in the off season in order to get himself ready for the NFL type of game. He got a hold of his playbook when he got drafted and really studied it well with guys who knew that playbook and helped him learn it. And then, he's listened to all the different people that have been involved in his life. So he's a guy that wants to be great. He works at being great, and he's getting some really good results early in his career.
I'll say this because I think it'll sound better coming from me than from you, but isn't he basically a young Warren Moon? I mean, isn't he what you are in terms of the physical prototype, the size, the athleticism, the big strong arm, that whip that he can have when he throws the ball? I see that's when I see him, I really kind of see you. And is that what made so much sense in terms of the two of you working together? And can you break down like the technical part of his game for us?
Yeah, if you look at him, he's like me times 1.5. I mean, this guy is 6'6". He's 250 pounds. I was never even close to that big, but he does possess some of the same things I had when I first came into football as far as the athletic ability, the strong arm, a guy that can make all the different throws. And yeah, I did see a lot of myself in him when I saw him as a young player coming out. I actually saw him coming out of high school in a football camp that I was doing down at at Disney World, and that's where I first met him. And I saw this big, raw kid that had all this ability, but he was still raw. And once he went into high school further, he just became a great player in high school. Then he went on to the University of Florida, then transferred. And we all know the history of winning a national championship at junior college, then winning a national championship at Auburn. He just has a special quality about his personality. a very infectious personality that really gets people to rally around him. He has great leadership skills and a great athleticism. So with all those things combined, he's had a very, very successful career so far. And the main thing he had to do coming out of college was just refine his technique as far as his footwork, because what you're asked to do in the spread offense is totally different than what you're asked to do in an NFL-type offense. And that was what the job I was asked to do, was help him perfect that part of it. And once he got that down, you're seeing the fruits of his labor.
Another thing on your plate is a marketing company you have called Sports One Marketing. And if you can explain a little bit about that, I've heard it's a very successful company that you've got going. Explain what you do there.
Well, you know, I was involved in the sports management part of it with Lee Steinberg for a few years after I got out of football, and I decided I didn't want to be in the sports management side of it. I liked the marketing and the business development side, and so I formed a company with my CEO by the name of Dave Meltzer, and we wanted to start a company where we could take advantage of the different relationships that we've had in the sports business over the last 25, 30 years, and do something that was a little bit different, not representing athletes, but representing corporations that had critical business interest in sports and entertainment. So we'd go to different CEOs and ask, what do you want to do in sports? And they would let us know what they want to do, and we write out a formula on how to get it done. So that's one prong of our business. The other prong is we do events that have a charitable component with them. So we'll put on golf tournaments, different dinners, bowling events, whatever it might be, that have a component that gives money to a charity. So that's another part of what we do. And then we're also involved in sports production, where we are involved in inspirational and aspirational sports movies and television projects. So that's the three prongs of our business, and it's going very well, and we're really excited about all the different opportunities that we have out there.
And you can check out more details about Sports One Marketing at Sports One Marketing. That's sports with the number one, marketing.com. Also check out Warren Moon's Twitter at WMoon1. Warren, great stuff, and I thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Hey, Vic, always great talking to you, and you know where to get me if ever you need me, all right?
Absolutely, and we'll see you on Sunday. Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.